Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Benjamin Friedman is a defense and foreign policy expert, and he joins us this morning as we continue to dissect what has taken place over the last several hours in Singapore. And I welcome you to the program this morning, Benjamin. What is your assessment of the initial agreement? As I'm looking at it, it's a four-part agreement that the two leaders inked last night.
Yeah, it's barely an agreement. It's a joint communique that I would describe more as an agreement to agree.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
A plan to move forward on a couple things. So the White House is proud to say that the North Koreans have agreed to denuclearization. And in fact, they have not. They agreed to work toward, I think that's a key preposition there, toward denuclearization of the peninsula, just as I would say the United States agreed to work toward the abolition of nuclear weapons under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Agreement. And we don't work toward that very quickly. So that in and of itself doesn't mean much more than that something is happening and they're looking to make some kind of deal. But we don't even know how we're defining denuclearization there, if we're defining it the same way as the North Koreans. There's nothing in there about verification or inspections.
Yeah, but this is a 180 for Kim, isn't it? I mean, compared to what he was saying a year ago, I'm going full throttle and I'm going to blow you off the face of the earth.
Well, you could look at it that way, or you could look at it that he and his government wanted to establish their capability to be a nuclear weapon state, and then from there negotiate from what they would probably see as a position of strength relative to countries like Libya and Iraq, which didn't have nuclear weapons, and arguably their leaders met a different fate because of that. At least that might be the way the North Koreans look at it, so it might be sort of part of the plan that they set up. And the South Koreans have been particularly adamant that we get to the table with the North Koreans, and actually the United States was sort of dragged, I wouldn't quite say kicking and screaming, but we were substantially less eager.
Mm-hmm. Now, the president said a comment that I saw a couple of people point out as I was driving in this morning, that the North Koreans have already destroyed their nuclear testing facility and their missile testing facility. Is that correct? Are we sure of that?
Destroyed testing facility. I don't know that they are without any other testing facilities, but you know, that's a sign. It's a step that at least symbolically shows some commitment to negotiate, but it doesn't obviously go very far towards getting rid of their capability. I mean, they could build another testing facility. They may have just decided that they didn't need to test anymore for the time being.
Right.
So this was something they could sacrifice.
Now, with this being such a closed society, how can we verify what is or is not happening in North Korea? I mean, satellites, I guess. We don't have, I don't think we have a lot of agents in that country or people that we can call upon to try to give us information, right?
No. We have overhead surveillance of satellites that can see things. I mean, related to missile launches in particular, or any large buildings, which is helpful. I think the South Koreans probably have a decent intelligence network that we have access to. We have intercepts, signals intelligence that maybe allow us to hear some conversations going on there. But as President Trump said, it's likely that the U.S. intelligence there is worse almost than any other place because of the nature of the society.
Right. We're talking to Benjamin Friedman, a defense and foreign policy expert, as we take a look at what has transpired in the last several hours in Singapore, where the president of the United States met with the leader of North Korea and has signed an agreement to start discussing and working towards the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Not in that agreement is something that the president announced last night, where he says that we're not going to have more military exercises, at least not in the immediate future, with South Korea. Now, this is a pretty significant change in policy. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think it's a substantial concession by the United States. We previously suspended those exercises, or war games, as the president calls them, previously to get the North Koreans to come to the table with the South Koreans around the Olympics and so forth. And doing so again, I guess, meet the precondition of the North Koreans to talk. And I think that while it is harmful to U.S. military readiness and so forth, on the other hand, our military superiority there is so vast compared to North Korea that I think it's a concession we can afford to make. I don't think we're in any sort of danger of deterrence failure.
Mm-hmm. The United States apparently has agreed to security guarantees for North Korea and for Kim in particular. Do you know what that means with any specificity?
I don't, and I don't think anybody else does, potentially including some of the people who put it in that communique.
Okay.
I mean, at the moment, it doesn't seem to be, it's not defined, you know, just as denuclearization isn't defined. So maybe President Trump said some more specific things. One would imagine that security guarantee is conditional based on behavior, based on things that the North Koreans would do, but we just don't know. The North Koreans probably are going to ask for, if we continue with negotiations as we plan to, for some withdrawal of U.S. forces from the Korean Peninsula. And President Trump said in his press conference, which was about a lot of things, not just North Korea, that he was willing to withdraw troops, which I think is okay, but you know, which will upset certainly a lot of people in Washington who are very married to the current strength of the U.S. posture there.
Let me ask you I don't want to be negative, but Kim Jong-un, he's not been traveling around the world like a normal world leader would, in part because he's a pariah on the international scene. I mean, he's been a vicious dictator. But do you think there's any chance that he goes back to his own country after having been away for a few days? And even with the belief that he is some sort of deity, there are enough generals and other leaders in his own government who say, hey, man, you're about to give away the store here. We don't like this. And he faces an internal threat that turns this whole thing upside down.
I think that it's a possibility, and I have really no way to assess how likely it is, mm-hmm. given, you know, what we just talked about, the
right.
kind of darkness and the information about North Korea. That said, his command on power seems to be, from outward signs, relatively strong at the moment, and it's not clear that he's gone out on too much of a limb here. I mean, to be honest, he hasn't agreed to very much.
Right.
It's a pretty limited agreement. And besides that, it may be that, you know, kind of the plan that he has is one that a lot of the top people there share. It's just hard to say.
Well, when you feed people to rabid dogs to keep them in line, I guess that has a pretty powerful psychological effect, too. Benjamin Friedman, defense and foreign policy expert. Really appreciate your insight this morning. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.